Welcome to Fellowship of the Range, a monthly podcast discussing the art and science of flexibility development. The podcast is hosted by three coaches going by their range names, the Flexibull, the Limberjack, and the Splits Wizard. Follow us as we delve into contextual application of range of motion development. Fellowship of the Range is produced by Motion Impulse.
Just the best screenshots.
Could you imagine? I love sharing some screenshots when like people ask me a question. And I just fucking go on a rant. I'm like, ooh, this is a good thing to post in my story, actually. Everyone knows how I feel.
There you go. You've implied, yeah. It hasn't turned out to be a time-wasting comment. It's actually just turned into something I can share.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just a normal, can I pick your brain? There's one I've seen recently, actually, on the can I pick your brain front, where someone... they had a special landing page on their website that you can't find normally. And whenever someone would send them like, hey, can I pick your brain for a moment on Instagram or TikTok or wherever, they just send them this link. And like, you can book an hour call for $400 or something.
But I tell you what though, I started doing the consultation calls a few months ago. Yeah. And that is what I do. Like, I'm like, look, if you have like, then I shoot it to them. And a lot of people actually do it. Like,
you get so much from it, right? Like if you genuinely, I'll answer some questions and direct people to certain posts and things, because those are shareables, because then it's like, you know, the next 20 people that want to ask that same question hopefully find that, and then you don't have to deal with all those other messages. But a call is so much more worth your time for that person too, right? Because I mean, there's so much more involved than like that message you get where it's like, hey, my hip feels like shit when I squat. It's like, okay, I'm not going to just tell you to do this.
Like, who are you? Your clamshells, bro?
Yeah. It's always kind of like that. It's a much bigger picture than just a post. And I think so many people struggle with that. I don't know if it was a post I'd shared. I think you're struggling with your flexibility because you keep doing the top three exercises. I think I shared like a month ago or something. Because that's the number one thing.
A bit of sassy. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a list of 20 exercises I'm doing, and I don't know. It's like, well, that's the problem. Adding more and more exercises to the list.
Yeah, I had a guy who actually came down here from New York who had been training with like a bunch of other people online, and he's kind of one of those guys that's like interested. And funny enough, I actually think I directed him to probably you, Emmett, because he's one of those guys that's like half calisthenics, but like half weight training, right? So he like... He's one of those guys that's like, oh, I want to do all upper body calisthenics, like gymnastic stuff, and then like squat and deadlift basically, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, like I could, but honestly, I'm kind of so far removed from that specific sort of niche that you should go ask Emmett. And but anyways, he came down here for like a whole week because he, you know, had been doing people's programs online, and he brought me in his program, and he was dealing with all kinds of shit, like elbow and shoulder and knee.
Yeah.
And basically just his whole body was just kind of jacked. And so I'm like, can I see your program, like what you're doing, right? Oh, my God, dude. I never in my life. They had this poor guy training like 5-6 days a week. Every single workout was like consistently overlapping exercises, right? So like he'd have like three different pulling exercises and three different pushing exercises. And then just it was like one of those things where it's like, why would you do the push-up thing here? And then just right here, you're just going to do something that's basically the same thing again. And it's just like, it was such, and I was like,
yeah.
And he was supposed to be handling all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, literally in 1 week, you have like 60 different exercises that you're doing. How would you, like, how can you even, like, even if something did happen to work, there's no way you're even going to know what it is.
Yeah.
Because you're just doing so much stuff that it's just like, it's just, there's no, it was kind of sad, honestly. I was like, man, this is actually kind of sad that people program like this. Like, I didn't realize that this, like, it was one of those.
It's more common than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, it's one of those things where like, if I asked a kid who came to my gym, like a high schooler, if I just asked him on the spot, he knew nothing. I was like, write me a program of like what you would do in a session. That's what it looked like. Just like a bunch of just random stuff that just didn't, like, you can tell sometimes, you can, a lot of times, like, obviously us, we can probably look at a program and say, oh, okay, there's some sort of thought process here.
Yeah.
Or if this was just totally random. It was just, just like, I don't even know how they came to, you know, it was sad.
So you put your favorite exercises in a list, and then you add sets and reps, and then that's the program.
That's literally was it. That's exactly, in a nutshell.
It's like,
go ahead.
Yeah. The best one I've seen recently as well is like one of my former clients got in touch with me.
And he's just, oh, Emmett, and blah, blah, blah. We're still good friends. And he's just, I'm doing this program by an online coach who remained nameless, not control shade. And it's like, the workouts are just taking me 2.5 hours. I was like, can you look at it and tell me what I'm doing wrong? It's like, yeah, no problem. Just send me the program over. So it's, you know, it's program you buy by PDF of videos. And you just like, I just work out the maths on the rest periods, like the program seems logical. It's like, okay, you got like, you know, 3 or 4 sets per exercise, main exercises, you know, perfectly fine program. But then there's 2 to 3 minutes rest or 3 to 5 minute rest on the main exercises, 2 to 3 minutes rest on things, you know, I think 24 sets in the program. So when I added up, like, there's 90 minutes of rest in the program and about 45 minutes of, like, if you stuck to the tempos prescribed. So it's like, yeah, okay, it's going to take 2.5, like, there's nothing you can do to speed this workout up. You're following it to a T.
Yeah.
And then I went onto the website of this thing. This is the funny thing. It's like, oh, the person was, like, espousing, you should only work out for 45 to a minutes to an hour max before cortisol kicks in. You should be in and out of the gym in under an hour. Gosh. And it's like, that's fine, you know, whatever. If you believe that and that's the way you want to program, it's fine. But why did you make a program that's like takes 2 hours and 15 minutes to get through if it was like literally just basic maths? Like,
yeah, the cognitive dissonance in a lot of these things that you see is just insane. How somebody will, like you said, espouse some sort of like philosophy and then you just go like 2 posts back. And they just espoused 2 days ago a philosophy that completely contradicts the one they just posted today. It's like, how does that even, like, did you not connect this? You know what I mean?
It's
try to be consistent at least.
Well, I was thinking there when you first started talking about that, it kind of sounds like one of the, like, this worked for me approaches. It should work for you. It's like when you hear like a 2-hour workout with that much time and someone's like just, you know, randomly being assigned that, it's like, okay, there's probably something to that, but not everyone's, and it's not going to work the same way for everyone that it worked for you kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It was just like one of these, you know, I'm not trying to say it, like the program was pretty logical in terms of how it was laid out for body, mixing body weight training with like strength training or weight training. It's just like, you know, you got each day had a main focus, you have that, you know, blocks. It was fine. The exercise like thing, it was nothing special, but it was nothing terrible, which is always pretty good. Like, as long as you've got nothing terrible and you've got a problem, it's kind of semi-logical, it's going to work. But it's just the lack of basic maths is always this problem when people are like, oh, what volume? I've done more reps, but what weight did you use? What do you mean, what weight did I use? I've done more reps. I've done more volume. I'm doing a high volume body weight exercise. I'm like, well, how much weight did you lift? You know, these kind of things is just like, is a breakdown, I think, of a lot of things. Like, particularly when, like, this is the thing. This guy was time limited. And the person selling the program was like, it will take 45 minutes to 60 minutes to do. But it was taking 2 hours. So double the amount of time. And it's just like, well, one, it's just not empathy for your clients. You just have to have a certain amount of empathy. Like, there can be trade-off. Like, if someone's like, I want to do handstands, flexibility, and strength training in one session, they say, I have 45 minutes and I want to get better at this kind of rate. It's like, well, you could maybe make it work, but if you could give me a bit more time, and then as coaches, we can go through and go like, let's just talk about your week. When are you training? Okay, you train after work. Well, that's okay. But, you know, what about getting up before work? And you might be able to get it like 1.5 hours in then. You know, could you give me that one day a week? You know, could we get some kind of consistency? You know, we can speak to the person, go, what is it and how can we go? Or we can sort of explain, like someone goes, oh, I want a one-arm handstand and I'm only going to train one day a week. And we can just straight up go, it's not going to happen. You know, I can let you play with the skills and give you some stuff to play with, but it's just literally just not going to happen. So you have to shake your expectations.
Yeah. That's where a lot of people end up in a play environment with their training. It's like the cover page says one-arm handstand, but probably not going to get a one-arm handstand doing that.
Yeah.
And that's really where customized coaching comes into play, where it feels like it's not as promoted as much these days, like just with the way the industry's going. But that's really what you're getting when you pay a premium, is like you're getting someone to sit down with you and goal set and give you realistic expectations. And that's like the hardest thing that everyone struggles with, like being in a space where everyone's like telling you, do this, do this, do this. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They have no idea who you are.
Literally. Yeah. That's kind of, what I think custom programming. Yeah, it's definitely like, that's what I say to people whenever they sign up for me is like, you know, the piece of paper you get what has the program on, that's only 10, 15% of what we do.
Mm. Yeah.
The rest of it is the communication, the problem solving, 100%. Systems.
Yeah.
You know, anyone can write a program, or not anyone, but you know, it's easy enough to write a logical program.
It was interesting. I was just having this conversation the other day with somebody. I can't remember who it was, but it's like, I think one of the things that you're going to see, you're kind of already seeing, I think, with Renaissance periodization, is you're going to have AI writing people's programs. You're not like you're writing a program is going to be nil at this point. It's like you can plug in at some point, you're going to have AI that's just like, hey, write me a program. I want to include these exercises or these are my goals. And it's going to go boom, here's your program.
Yeah.
So I honestly think the boutique sort of coaching is going to become more valuable and more necessary because it's going to be a dying art and a dying skill because I think everyone is so focused on programs, like what my program looks like. And let's be honest, like pretty much any program can work for anyone, you know, depending on a myriad of factors. But it's like what really makes or breaks, I think, a lot of times is, like you said, just the problem solving and the empathy that a robot's never going to have, right? Like, oh, you have kids, so you're, you know, or, you know, this is how much time you have. And just kind of like you were talking about, just working through all of those like small details or even just asking them things that they maybe didn't think about or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just like that guy I told you, like this guy's just falling apart. And it's like, he told a coach, like, yeah, I want a program. And it's just like, didn't even take into consideration anything that he told him. It seems like it's just, I'm sure some guy who had like 2 hours, like you said, to train every single day and minimal stress life could probably just do all these random workouts and make some sort of progress. But for this guy, it just wasn't the thing. You know? But I think you're going to have AI technology writing programs before too long. So it's,
technology writing programs for the same, just copy paste someone else's in there.
Google,
you know, that's fine. You know, it's not a, but it's not a thing. Like that's not the program.
No, that's absolutely.
This is the thing, but like it is, it's that weird crux of thing that you have a certain subset of the population. They can get a program from any source and they're actually able to follow it. And they're able to do the research. If they don't know an exercise, they can go, okay, I'll find a competent tutorial and I'll do this. And they have time to do this as well. Let's not factor in that. And they're able to make it work. And then you have the other subset of the population that even if they had time, you get them a program or they just found the program online, which was competent or suited them, or they wouldn't be able to make it work. And I do think that's quite an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is that kind of, there's just different learning styles. And this is, you know, one of the things I suppose we're dealing with a lot is like you get someone who loves the numbers, loves the explanations, and they need the buy-in of an explanation. Like, okay, they go, why should I squat when I want to jump higher? And the jump only happens in a quarter squat. You go, okay, yeah, we can explain this shit to you. And then you get the other guy who's like, I don't care. Show me the lift. I'm going to move it up and down. But then, like, they'll also be the same sort of person. Like, okay, if you can't move the big weight up and down, I'm not going to believe you that it works.
Right.
You know, obviously, we're talking polar extremes here, but it is these kind of learning styles that are very different that, you know, some coaches excel with one type, some coaches excel with other, and you will always kind of attract different people on the spectrum towards kind of what you bias towards or how you present yourself publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just being able to sort out and find someone's learning style or what they actually need to get buy-in. Because the biggest thing we need from people is compliance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like it's not
number one.
Yeah, adherence. it's compliance.
It's literally number one. I mean,
yeah.
Funny story. I had she will never listen to this, so it doesn't matter. And I won't say who it is, obviously, but I had a client who came in and I'll just keep the story super short. But anyway, she wanted a program and she had been dealing with knee stuff, I guess, for years. Like she used to run a lot or whatever. And so she can't really do much lower body training because her knees apparently are like really trashed. So she comes in, I actually give her, I was away for a holiday when she wanted to start. Unfortunately, with the online and the setup that I have here at the gym, I could just kind of get her started without me being here. So I give her a program online and okay, like one of the exercises, she said, oh, I can't do it because of my knees. So I gave her a substitution. And, you know, basically like she'd probably been in here maybe a week and a half, or at least I thought she had while I was gone. And then she comes in while I'm in and she's like, hey, I want to talk. I'm like, okay, cool. And, she's like, yeah, I don't think the program is working for me. I was like, okay. I was like, you know, can you kind of tell me like what's going on? And then she goes into this whole thing about how, you know, her knees are messed up, and she mentions that one exercise that she couldn't do. And I was like, okay, well, I gave you a substitution. And she's like, yeah, and I could do that. She's like, but I don't really know if it's like working or not. Right. And I was like, you know, it's a week, right? Like, number one, number two, yeah. Like, as the story goes on, you'll kind of go, oh, and so I was like, okay, well, I was like, you know, it's, as far as like the knee goes, you know, the knee's pretty simple. We just have to find like the right regression for you that you can do that doesn't hurt you, but you know, you can feel like is enough load. She's like, you know, I can do the bike or the elliptical. I was like, yeah, that's great. But the problem is there's not enough resistance to really like get any sort of strength stimulus, which is what we're going to need for your knees. Right. Cause she was like a runner, but she's never really like trained hard in the weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, I was like, we need to find just an exercise that can strengthen your knees. And so I had put some isometrics in her program. And so I asked her, I said, well, you know, how did the isometrics work? Did you do those? And she goes, no. I was like, well, why didn't you do those? And she goes, she didn't really have an answer, right? It was just kind of like, you know, like I just didn't really feel like doing them, I guess. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's like you come to me with a problem. You ask me for a solution. I give you a solution. And then you don't even follow the plan. And yeah. Then you come to me like, oh, I have a problem. And it's like, yeah, the problem is you didn't follow the plan that I gave you. Like,
yeah,
nothing is going to change if you don't.
The,
you
know, the compliance to follow. Yeah.
It's like she maybe had done a workout or two.
Yeah.
You know,
and then it's
it didn't even do it really, you know,
like that missing piece there is like the compliance to follow the program and then have faith in like, however long, I mean, 12 weeks is at least a decent amount of time to stay like, how are we doing? Right. Like,
yeah.
Have we, you know, adhered to things so far, and we're measuring success. And that's like always the other question to ask, right? Hey, I'm having problems with yada, yada, but I'm doing this. Do you think this would work? And it's like, well, how are you measuring that? Like, yeah, like, how do you know?
Yeah.
And those questions often people can't like put those two together. It's like, oh, you have to actually find a way to think, or, you know, it doesn't just automatically I'm pain free or automatically it works. It's like, no, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
An assessment, I mean, of how much progress you've made.
I don't even know where that expectation comes from, to be honest. It's like,
yeah.
Like,
well, it comes from all the shit that's like getting thrown in
social
their face.
Media.
Yeah.
It's,
right?
I'm talking like, you know, you ask for like 6 years or more of knee pain. Cause I actually used to work for a physical therapist that she used to come to like 6 years ago. She's still knee pain then. It's like, so you've had knee pain for 6 years plus, and you come in for not even a week and don't even really do that. And you have like, what is your expectation? You think your knees, it's not going to just, this place is not magic. It's not Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. You know? You're not just going to walk in here and it's going to be like
yeah.
It's just, it's kind of, I don't even know.
Training's hard, man. Training's hard.
It's that's the hardest part, man. Is getting them to just do it.
Do
show
what
up
you say.
And do it.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of those ones. I think this one was around the topic of people skipping shit in the workouts. You know who the worst people is for skipping shit in the workouts? Unequivocally, is other coaches.
Oh yes. Well, they know everybody. Oh,
we get into our habits, right? Like.
Yeah.
You know, we just like, I mean, we're the same in that way, maybe at a higher capacity, but I do that too, for sure. Like,
yeah.
Certain movements.
There's like different things between like, you know, I get this so much, cause I, you know, most of the programs I write are just targeted on people's weak points. That's all I kind of specialize in, and hammer your weak points. And that's what I do. So the exercise I'm going to give you, like particularly in skill based stuff, it's just going to be hard and you're going to be shit at it. And you just have to accept that, because if it was easy, I'd give you something different.
Yeah.
You know? But then it's like, oh, yeah, I just can't really do that. I was like, that's not the point. I want you to keep trying till you can get some sort of success in it. Or other stuff is like, oh, yeah, that one was kind of boring, so I just didn't do it.
Boring means hard.
Yeah,
I boring, don't know. That's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, it was very hard, and it didn't make me feel good about myself. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And it's just like, it is, yeah, It's just over the years, like, you know, and they're also like people who, you know, they have time, they should know exercise, they should be able to follow a program, like all the kind of stuff that you need to educate someone on at the start of training, they have down, but it just creeps in. It's just like, oh yeah, you know, the sessions they enjoy, like one client, if you're listening, you know who you are, it's like the squat session I wrote for him was like, you know, I've nailed it on a squat program recently. We're doing one session a week. He's been adding weight consistently and beating PRs and all this. It was great after a while with some injuries and other stuff. So it was obviously quite motivating to come back and get that. But then like other stuff, it's just like, oh yeah, I only done 6 of those sessions out of 12. It's, you know, just, you know, it's getting late in the day and I have to go do something. What you got to go do?
Yeah.
Warcraft maybe, or.
And that's where like picking a realistic amount of goals to hit at one time is important. Like even for myself, like speaking my own experience, like I'm realistically probably only going to train 2 or 3 goals really hard at a time. And then I'm usually going to have most other shit on maintenance. Like I'll still do it.
Yeah.
But there probably won't be. And that's just from my own experience is like, I just know I'm probably just going to really put my mental efforts into like 2 major goals at a time. And then at least have the other pieces there. And that's just, I don't know, I'm just getting old. I've only been squatting once a week this year as well, which was super. It's only 12 hard.
Days into the year now, you know.
Well, I mean, I got COVID last year in December, and I was on a puffer for a month or something, and it resorted to like I was only squatting once a week. And I just fucking kept it because I was feeling good. I was recovering from that, started doing some cardio, and I was like, I'm just going to keep doing this. It's just starting to come around now, but it's starting to feel really good. And like, again, just reflecting on my own experience here, it was like, be patient. You know that if you do it right, once a week is enough, right?
Yeah.
You're coming off like a high frequency approach and you're thinking, oh, you know, you're getting your own head about something. It's like, I had to kind of sit my own self down and be like, just do this. It's working right now. You don't need to do more. And like, yeah, I think coaches don't admit that maybe as much as we should, but we struggle with a lot of the same things, which is again, why someone looking to set goals and looking to counsel would benefit so much more with a coach. Cause we're so hard on ourselves with that too. And, you know, put ourselves in those same situations, but
I think that's a double-edged sword though. There is something that has been pointed out by a few people. The most recent one was the guys on Propane Fitness, where they pointed out like, cause they, I don't know if you know them, but they deal with mainly diet kind of stuff. And they just pointed out like, you know, so many people in the industry, in the diet sector, are basically just institutionalizing eating disorders or systematizing them and then presenting to people as a valid lifestyle choice. So there is definitely, I don't know. I suppose we get a lot of coaches, listeners, like learning to actually listen to the underlying motivation for someone's goal versus I want splits. It's like, well, what do you really want? You know, I want a 250 kg squat. Do you really want that, or do you want big quads? You know, they're not mutually exclusive. Squat to look
nice, right?
Yeah, or you want your squat to look nice, or you know, why do you want that? Because someone else wanted it. Okay, that's fine. I want splits. Why? Oh, okay, splits are awesome. But you know, I really want to feel loose in the hips and be able to chase my kids around the garden. Maybe doing splits isn't going to be the most approachable goal on that.
Yeah,
and just you know, dissecting things down, it's like, oh, I want to lose weight. Why do you want to lose weight? Oh, because I feel fat. Okay, what makes you feel? Oh, you know, I was playing with my kids and I was chasing them. I got out of breath. Okay, probably need to work a bit on cardio as well, and will make you feel a bit better while you're chasing your kids. You know, there's many things we can do when you get to the underlying root of someone's goal or like what they want.
Yeah,
asking versus those just questions. Like what they say. It's like, oh, I want a one arm chin up. Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you want a one arm chin up? To work my BJJ. probably better things to do there. I genuinely had that one.
Such a good good time of year to talk about this too, right?
It's like, funny because you'd have fucking heard that for sure.
Literally just like I had, you know, oh, someone's going like, you know, I've taught many people the one arm chin up, but it's one of those ones I always push people away from because it has quite a high risk of just blowing the elbows. Even like as much as you think you can condition and prepare for these things, sometimes it just creeps up and
shit happens, man.
You'll see it like, you know, you see one of the a good hand balance coach in Australia, even just like doing all this stuff, just blew his elbows on a German hang.
Mm-hmm.
Like had a peck, same thing you had, or a full separation. Just from, even just doing something simple. But obviously it was like accumulated fatigue from doing one-arm chins and undershit, I suggest would be the cause. And one-arm handstands everything. But one-arm chins for improve my BJJ. That was the best one. I just want to get better at grappling. I was like, I'm not strong enough. I want the one-arm chin. You know, fair enough. Like, I'm always down if someone's just like, I want to feel strong. And strong for me is a one-arm chin, or strong for me is 200 kg deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I'm not against that. But, you know, if it's for something else, like, maybe we'll just like work on your grip strength and weighted chin-ups and you'll feel much better.
Let's learn to fully extend the elbow.
No. It's BJJ. You can't fully extend the elbow. You have to be kind of like a bear.
Yeah, just stuck so just at 90 degrees.
No one can actually lock you out because your joints just don't actually extend.
Unless you're one of those crazy like 12th planet guys that just fold like a pretzel and the other BJJ guys can't figure it out because they're so flexible. They're just like, my normal moves don't work on this guy because he's just so flexible.
He's just not tight.
Yeah. It's just everything bends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why do you want it? Okay. What are you willing to do? Such an important question to ask too, right? Because you get those very big goal splits or one arm chin or whatever, and it's like what kind of time and like what are you actually willing to give up to do this? Like what do you know? And I think that even in itself too is a wake up call, because then you know someone starts telling you what time they have available and what kind of training style they've been using. It's like, okay,
you can
set some realistic goals here within maybe 2 years or something. And
what are you willing to give up to get something is always, I think, is a good one.
Yeah.
It's one it doesn't get talked about enough, I suppose. It's like, we can always think like diet is always the easiest one to come back to. It's like, oh, I want to get shredded. What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up drinking alcohol and eating food? Okay, fine. I want to eat junk food, not just food. Okay, cool. Okay, I'm not willing to give up drinking on Friday nights. Okay, we can just, you know, write Friday and Saturday kind of off the plan and we can compensate for. Okay, that's fine. I want to get splits, front splits, bridge. Okay, I want them really quickly. Fine. Are you willing to give up your strength training or just put it on the back burner? Not even give it up, but just on the back burner. You know, so we reduce our expectations of results massively. No. Yeah. Then maybe it's going to take a while.
Yeah,
I need these things. This is that's always an important one. What are you willing to give up?
Mm-hmm.
I think
I think when it comes to getting flexible, that's where a lot of people really struggle with, right? Are they trying? I want to keep doing all this stuff I'm really bad at because my flexibility is poor.
Yeah,
but I want to improve that so I can keep. You know, it's like you might have to just give that up for a little bit and. We can find ways to maybe, you know, keep it there in a way where it's going to keep you, you know, inspired towards it. But
are you willing to give up shit exercise from Instagram to achieve your goals?
Yeah. or just like subtle modifications, right? Like if you're like really hammering away on side split, you know, it's like, okay, like maybe some, instead of doing a whole set, you know, like stuff you'll probably see more in Lucas is like, okay, what about some like sumo deads or like sumo squats you're going to squat anyway. Why not just like slightly change the variation a little bit? That's going to, you know, oh, I want more flexible hamstrings. Well, doing rack pulls probably is not the best exercise for that. So why don't you do RDLs instead? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just like really simple, like adjustments most of the time, right? Like just do a little bit of more of this for 12 weeks and you'll probably get exactly where you want to go. But you know, it's like, I want to do a side split, but I got to like do narrow stance, heels elevated squats. It's like, that's not going to do anything for your adductor flexibility. So, you know, it's just again, like resources and expectations.
Yeah.
Like, and then having a coach that has actually trained people for real, you know, cause that's the thing I think with online coaching is like, I think sometimes you can see the empathy in people like, oh no, this person actually has trained people in real life, not just like, make up stuff on the internet, you know? It's interesting, like even what you guys are talking about in the sporting world, because, you know, I have this high school football team that I trained And these ideas of the stuff that they need to do in the weight room somehow is going to make them a better football player. It's just like, I don't know if it's just cultural or where it comes from, but it's like, and again, everything can probably help in some context, right? But it's like the idea that you have to do power cleans to like get a Division I football scholarship. It's like, you're just weak, dude. Like, you know, I mean, and that's like most of them. Like, I probably have 3 of the 50 that are like actually really solid in the weight room and probably just need to spend majority of their time on the football field. And then, of course, I have like some freshmen that have never touched a weight before in their life that like I could blow over with like just blowing wind at them. And they just will benefit from not only playing football for the next 4 years, but also from just like accumulating time in the weight room. Right. Yeah, it's just like,
just getting strong.
I think that people just, it sounds super cheesy, but it's just accumulation of habits and like trusting that in time, the accumulation of those habits will reap rewards. Right. It's like, it's like probably a really shitty example because probably no one does this anymore, but it's like when you had loose change in your pocket, no one has change anymore. But when you did, you put it in a jar. By the end of the year, you pull out your jar, take it to the thing, the bank or whatever. They're like, oh my God, like $700. You know what I mean? It's like, just accumulated over a year and it just was there at the end of the year. And it's like what you said earlier, you know, when you do, you go, you have 12 sessions and you find out from your client that they did 6 of them. That is 6 sessions that you would have accumulated some sort of stimulus. And if you continue that pattern over the year, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. And it's just like what a lot of people don't realize, I'll say kids, because I was talking about the football team, is that accumulation matters. And there's nothing that you can really do to make up for not accumulating that work or whatever it is, right? It's like the fact of the matter is, if a guy, like some of these kids come in here, they've been lifting since they were 10, 12. Like we have a couple of kids from Canada that like were doing powerlifting and weightlifting in grade school. It's like they have 4 or 5 years of weight room on you. There's no way for you to, you can't make that. Like someone who's starting fresh right now as a freshman in high school, you're not going to make that time up. It's impossible. Now, some people genetically just like never been in a weight room and they come in and they're just strong, right? Those are like obviously outliers, but like the average person is like, you just have to accumulate it. And I will say that kid that I posted about on my page the other day, and I hope he doesn't take this disrespectfully, but like when I got a hold of him when he was an eighth grader, there was nothing about him that I would have been like, oh, this kid's like a genetic freak. Like there's some 14-year-olds on this football team that you would think are 18 or 19 years old. And you're like, he's 14. That's crazy. This kid looked like a 14-year-old kid, but he just accumulated training with me for 4 years amongst obviously his sport specific work. And he just did it. And he was consistent about it. And he never complained. And he showed up, you know, and that's kind of what led to my story the other day. It was like, like I have a bunch of people online like, oh, started basketball season, can't train now. It's like, or oh, started baseball season, I can't train now. It's like, and that's why you're not going to get a D1 scholar. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just like he went to track practice, came to training session. Sure, he was probably tired. He was fatigued. And as a coach, we just managed the session based on however he was doing that day. But he still showed up and did the work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he got a D1 scholarship the next day. You know, we're talking 5 years later, but they just can't see that long term. Like, where is all of this work going to get me? No matter what your goal is, flexibility, strength, muscle mass, sporting, you know, skill work, whatever the case may be, it's all the same principles apply. It doesn't matter what, like, you know, the fellowship of the range, but it's like the same thing that gets you strong is the same thing.
The fellowship of the consistency.
Consistency. And compliancy, I think, are two big words today. You know what I mean? Do the work.
And even just that, like, that just brings to mind just the fact that, I mean, people want that instant gratification, right? Like, it's, you'll do so many workouts that don't yield some kind of result.
Yeah.
And even just like, for, again, just a little example for me right now, I'm really trying to work on my press this year, my overhead press. And it's because I'm always fucking off on it, and it's just like I'm always shit at it and I just never do it. And then I did it yesterday. I hit my numbers. It was shit. It was super hard to get through, And I just, again, that reflection on myself is like, man, you just got to keep doing this, right? Keep showing up each week, yeah, get these numbers. And there's going to be a lot of shitty workouts where I'm just going to be like, man, I'm fucking weak. Like, I'm just like really not very good at this. And it's just,
Majority of them will be feel like that.
Yep. Yeah.
If you've been training for a long time, you know that.
Yeah. And that's like, that's where so many people struggle with is like, it's probably important to have that big goal because that's ultimately when you find a good coach or a good community or whatever, it's that kind of you work towards those goals that certain people work towards is like, you know, it's why so many people join, like, I'm going to do a marathon, right? Or I'm going
to
run whatever. And it's like, then you turn up and you have a bunch of shitty workouts and you have some good ones and then you go hit your goal, right? And it's like, realizing
I don't think you could define any kind of marathon running as not shitty.
probably not.
But yeah, and that's the hard part. That's the hard part with social media, right? Is like you're seeing nothing but people fucking rip it up on how they're sharing it, right? It's like everyone's just ripping it up. I'm just like crushing all the time. And, you know, even I struggle with that sometimes. I'm like, man, fuck, like everyone's crushing it.
Yeah, but like the amount of physique people I know who just get ready for whatever season, photo shoot, competition.
Post it through the year or whatever.
Whatever. And then they just take like enough photos to cover a whole year. Just to stand in the bathroom with like 10 different t-shirts, changing them. Next day, the hair's wet and down, gelled up, whatever. Photo,
check. It's not even funny because it's so true, right? Like people don't understand how coordinated these things are.
Yeah. It takes a lot of like effort to look so natural.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about like the steroid natural and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah. Speaking of natural, can we do a bit of fitness gossip, actually, just for a bit of comedy?
I love fitness gossip. I don't care.
Yeah. So, Liver King.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Thank God my kids didn't know who Liver King was when I said that. And I was like, I'm so happy you don't know who he is.
Yeah. I suppose I only like really have one takeaway from it, from a lot of people. It's like, clearly he was roided up to the gills.
I think anyone in the industry knew that. If you've been around training, you knew that.
This is the point. People in the industry, I know there's people who came to me and said, I said, he's not natty. And they rebutted going like, of course he is. He has elite genetics. He trained twice a day. Anyone who's working in the industry and thinks he was natural, you should probably just hand back in your search.
Yeah, you should just quit.
I really just don't. 100%. You know, and if you're looking for a coach and they were thinking Liver King was natural and this is what's, you know, it's not, this is the thing. His physique was so absurd. And like, the other thing is just like all the fucking cunts buying in with it who are like going, oh yeah, of course he's natural. He said he's natural. No, you don't trust anyone who says anything. Because let's face it, Lance Armstrong, he said he was natural. Yeah. Surprise, he wasn't. And it's just like, yeah. And like, personally, from my point of view, I don't give a fuck if someone takes drugs.
I don't
like, you know, I don't, you know, and like, I understand there's legalities about admitting things to different things, but like, he was on a legal script.
Yeah.
You know, and it, like, there's ways to say you're not natty without saying I'm natty, you know, and there's ways to present it even in the context of his business. Like, oh, the Liver King likes to do things that most people wouldn't consider sane, but what I do and eat, that's what supports me to do this and do this kind of insanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't recommend it. I don't know, you know, I recommend you living your best life, whatever the shit he's promoting. But it is just, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, even if he would have taken that route, he probably would have had just as many followers doing, because, I mean, it's just like this guy, he's doing ridiculous ancestral shit. You know, after that post where he jumps out of the water with a fish or something, I was laying his mouth, I was like, oh my fuck. Like, it's just so over the top. But it was the message, right? Like, he really hit these pain points with, and he kept trying to do that after it came out too, like with people who were committing suicide and depression and all this stuff. And
that's,
it's like,
just,
man,
that's just a weasel statement. Oh, man. Like, you're not helping anyone.
You're making this 10 times worse.
Because they see this guy and they're like, why don't I have all this shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been training there for 10 years as well.
Yeah. Can you imagine buying into him being natty and like, you know, having mental health? It's to the point like, where you're like trying to change yourself and then you find that out. Like, you're like, fuck. Right.
Well, like, you know, but what's worse is like, I feel like the people that then justify it after the fact, they've been so duped that they just start to justify it. Well, so what? Who cares if he lied about being on $14,000? He's helping people. I will say this without saying exactly what, but this is not the first situation that I've obviously was not personally involved in this situation with Liver King. I have no affiliation, but I have been parts of certain things where it's like, maybe certain things aren't being done the way you think they're being done. But if somebody told you, oh, well, they're lying about it. And then they go, well, who cares if they're helping people? It's like, yeah, who cares about ethics? As long as they're helping somebody and they're just fucking everyone else. It's just like,
well, it's like,
it's just perspective, right?
It's fucking story fucking mythical. We're creating like these mythical legends or urban legends on like, just like Superman. Like, yeah, Superman, you grow up, you love Superman as a kid and you aspire to be a hero and live with good morals, but that's different. You can't be like a real human being and say, oh, you know, like make up these stories.
Yeah.
And then be like, everyone should aspire to be like me because I did this or whatever. And it's like, that's like not reality though. Like this isn't like a Superman fucking superhero story.
I just think people in this industry, unfortunately, just don't really have any integrity whatsoever. You know, and I'll say it.
Yeah.
Like, shit. I don't know. I know
you're right.
I know I'll never go on his podcast and I don't care to at this point. It's like, guys like Mark Bell. It's like, there's no way in hell that for a single second you didn't think or know he was on steroids, and he perpetuated this myth that like, no, he's not on steroids. I checked his cabinets. I didn't see it anywhere. And it's like, dude, you are on gear and you've powerlifted your whole life, and side by side, you don't put a,
he's
you don't,
bigger than you.
He dwarfs you.
Yeah.
That's not from consuming liver capsules, dude. Like, and it's just like, It's like this playing ignorant, like, oh, I didn't know. It's like, yes, you did. You knew.
Yeah.
You knew. You know what I mean? It's like, I cannot stand that dishonesty, especially for somebody who's so open about being like, yeah, I'm on drugs. It's like, if you really, you know, tell the guy, hey, no one's going to give a shit if you just say you're on drugs. Like, no one's going to care. The same way no one cared when, basically no one cares when they found out, they wouldn't have cared before either. You know what I mean? So it's like, and his, you know, what's going to happen is his business is going to thrive. He's going to do better now than he was doing before. It's just the way.
Apparently, I don't know. One of us said, like, this thing, I don't even follow him. People send me this. I seem to be like this person who people send me stories of other people to go, what do you think about?
Oh, I get those all the time.
I'm just like, I'm sure Lucas does too. Someone going like, oh, look, he's stopping his steroids on his Liver King. What's going to happen next? I was like, well, no, he's going to take some other things. He's going to take some other drugs now.
Yeah, basically, go fucking he's going to take full kilt.
There's enough designer drugs in America that
it's created that won't this. I don't know about you guys, but it's created even more content for other people now to talk about steroids. So now it's just like everyone's just talking about, you know, steroids because now it's all everyone wants to talk about. So it's just like all these gurus are coming out now and saying like, okay, well, steroids are great and you can do steroids like this or like that. And it's like, holy fuck. It's like just going completely the other direction now too, which is whatever. But it's just crazy. Everyone just jumps on like, okay, this is hot now. Everyone just talk about steroids now. Everyone's like,
it's been around forever. And then picks up.
Yeah.
Everyone just needs to go on the old Rich Piana train. That's it. Like, if you're not willing to do what Rich Piana done, you shouldn't take steroids. That's, you know. He lived a great life. Look at all the things. Sports car, shit. Cool hair implants, epic tattoos. Tattoos were pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
You know. So you're not willing to do a Rich Piana, and don't take steroids.
Aziz.
That's basically my take on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... fuck.
But it's just like that presentation. I mean, the other one that triggered me this year, and everyone was sending me, and I ended up just fucking being like, fuck. The fucking Steffi Cohen stretching post, where it's like... It's just
that was early for this year, I have to say.
It was, and it was like you look at the post and it's the messaging in it where she's like kind of right, but like, of course, the powerlifting community just jumps all over, don't stretch. And it's like, because she presented it as like, you know, stretching doesn't prevent injury. Well, guess what? Fucking nothing prevents injury. Like, don't start jumping on that train now. Like, we know it fucking works. We've had probably the best year of literature come out to like, you know, battle against, like, we know fucking stretching works, right? But it's still that the way someone like that presents that and like the way the post was made and everything, it basically everyone's like, yeah, fuck stretching. It's like, no, that's not. She's like, I could say, hey, training your end range doesn't really prevent injury. Right. And then it's like,
in fact, more guys have probably got hurt training their end
range. No, yeah. Sorry. Right. Yeah. And it's like, but everyone's jumping on this fucking, oh, full ROM, full ROM, full ROM. And it's like, well, full ROM isn't just doing every fucking badass exercise through full ROM. That's not full range of motion training. And you may need to stretch at first. And we're not even like, nothing prevents injury. This whole fucking injury, like talking like, yeah, there was a time there where it was said that stretching would prevent injury. And it was presented that way. And now it's like, everyone's like jumping on that. And it's like, but nothing fucking prevents injury. And you can't just now present a message that is right in a way. And then fucking everyone's like, yeah, fuck stretching. It's like, no. Like, yeah. Guess what? Squatting super wide doesn't prevent injury.
Here's my observation. Yeah, maybe you get light on this, right? Is it's like, okay, take any industry, not just fitness. We'll talk about fitness. Yeah. But take any industry and go 10 years back. We did not have social media, right? So we had no means of essentially acquiring vast amount of anecdotal information or data whatsoever, right? So when we learned a subject or a topic, we learned it from whatever or information we were given by whatever extremely limited source within some bubble or whatever. And so like the perspective and the bias and the information itself was all just so limited. And we just had to trust it, right? Like, so fast forward, now you have social media, right? And it's like, you know, you get all these like science people and researchers, people that go anecdotal information, you know, evidence is not enough evidence to blah, 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 blah. And it's like, but at what point does just vast amount of anecdotal evidence that supersedes the amount of data that you've ever acquired in any sort of study? Like, I can go on Instagram. It's, I'm not saying this is the best source of information, or YouTube. You obviously have
Instagram as a replacement for PubMed.
You obviously have to be able to like have the data in front of you, information, but you also have to be able to extrapolate it properly, right? But it's like, okay, if you tell me that you have to squat this way, and I go on YouTube and I can find hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of hundreds of different individuals doing the exact opposite very successfully of the way you say to do something, at what point is that not enough information to at least go, well, wait a second, look at all, you know, it's just like, it's like flexibility. It's like, flexibility makes you slow. Stretching makes you this. It doesn't do this. It's like, well, let me go on. Let me find the thousand, I mean, probably hundreds of thousands of people. If you really like, because again, even on social media, just with the algorithms or whatever, you get stuck in this bubble. It doesn't seem like it, but you definitely get content directed a certain way. But it's like, you can find hundreds of thousands of outliers. So like at what number do we just accept, oh, it's not an outlier. There might actually be something to this information, like across the spectrum. Right. And it's like, stretching makes you slow. Well, how many fast, explosive athletes can I find that are flexible, that aren't slow?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's just, where do we, it's just a weird place where we have so much information available to us that I feel like people focus on like things that are just insignificant, but then we have a lot of significant examples and representations where people just seemingly want to ignore. It's like, oh, well, we'll just ignore that.
it's the difference between a message of misinformation versus misleading. Right. So then you can take your people, the followers, and mislead them. Right. And like present it in a way where it's like, well, yeah, nothing prevents fucking injury, but this is very misleading because, you know, stretching works, you know, it's been proven for years, and it's the chronic effects of stretching that works, not the acute effects that everyone just fucking jumps on the bandwagon and fucking anytime there's some kind of way to like present this message in a way where it misleads people. Right. And it's like,
define injury as well.
But then,
like exactly. A lot of these injury studies, like for any kind of training thing, is all cause injury.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you know, that's fine. Go on a rugby pitch. Would Jeff have like blown his bicep up in a weight room? Probably never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get kicked in the arm on a rugby pitch and then put on an arm bar.
Yeah.
Oh, his bicep blew up. Oh, you know.
It's the weightlifting. Not
counted, but that's just like, but that's just counted as like on the injury thing. It's like, oh, yeah, bicep tear. His stretching didn't help him.
Yep.
It's like, well, Rotting would have helped most people in that kind of situation.
It's what happens afterwards, right? And it's like, you know, look at Jeff's already fucking training and he's already, you know, he's going to have
stretching.
He's already, you know, he's going to have like a great recovery. And that's the message is like, whatever condition you're in when you get injured, it's the fucking turnaround time of your recovery is what we're talking about here. And if you are flexible and you can sit in different positions and like that other people can't access, your recovery is going to look way better than someone who can't fucking sit on the ground.
Yeah.
Whose dog is that? Is that your dog's, Lucas? Is there a dog barking in the background?
Yeah, I just muted there real quick. Just, we
get, no, it's good.
Enjoy the podcast.
It's cool.
People get
just
it.
Just making sure people know it's not my dog and him being an asshole.
Yeah, mine are assholes for sure.
It's actually me barking. I started barking.
Jeff's down on the floor barking, driven insane by his bicep going a bit weird.
No, and that's like for me too, like getting triggered by that is like I had a little like talk with myself, right? It's just the start of the year and I'm like, okay, I can't keep getting pulled into these like communities that like there's no fucking way I'm gonna convince these people anything, right? Like at the end of the day, we just gotta like keep doing this podcast. Fucking keep pushing our pages.
Yeah.
Keep pushing the good word of like how it should be approached. And that's all you can do, right? So now it's like, this is the year where I'm like, okay, fuck all those people. Like, I don't even care anymore. Yeah. Like, you guys, if you want to jump in and
people are going to believe them, are going to believe them.
Yeah.
You know? You're not going to change their mind.
The people that find us and that know that, you know, there's something here or they just fucking know anyway, or you get to that point where, like I got to that point. That's like my message. I fucking fully admit as a coach, I was a fuckhead about flexibility at one point. And it was a realization from actually being injured to now say like, I'm going to like actually go in. And even the people I disagree with, I'm taking that approach. I'll fucking look at their shit. I'll take a course from them. And there's good stuff there. Right. But it's just like,
just I have not taken being able people I disagree with.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something you'll gain, but it's just like that. Like Jeff said, that dissonance of like, this is the only fucking way. And it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, I think we had a mutual guy who tagged us, Lucas. I won't say who. And I mean this in the best possible way. If he happens to listen to this, but I won't say who it is. But it's like a guy who I know for a fact has done the ATG program pretty consistently because he was on it when I was there. That was like fucking 3 years ago. And it's like his knees are still bothering him. He still has knee pain. And it's like, oh, well, ATG just came out with this. Walk 100 miles backwards and you'll cure your knee pain. And so now this guy is so fucking convinced after 3 years of ATG not working, this year's the year when he does 100 miles of walking backwards. So it's like everything you've listened to up until this point has failed you. But 100 miles walking backwards is just probably going to take you a fucking year. That this is going to be it. This is going to be it. And it's like, man, that's a genius marketing strategy, actually. Come up with a solution that's going to take someone a year after them already consuming your stuff for 3 years and it not working. Well, let's just, how do we tackle it another year? Oh, well, just, well, that's just because you didn't walk 100 miles backwards before. But now if you walk 100 miles backwards, you're going to, like, if you actually you told somebody that,
yourself even further,
imagine walking into
you even more.
Imagine walking
into nothing but therapist. Detraining.
Just imagine walking into a physical therapist or a doctor. Right. Yeah. And we get it. They fuck up. They make mistakes. Yeah. They don't have all the answers either. But imagine a normal person walks into their doctor's office and they have knee pain and they go, well, you just have to walk 100 miles backwards. It's like, dude, I don't think I've walked 100 miles in my life. Now I have to walk 100 miles backwards.
American speaking here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm in America, so we don't walk in America. But it's just like, the person would probably go, wow, that's crazy. That sounds a little ridiculous, right? Oh, but
like this is the thing. If you're presented in a normal physiotherapist, doctor, interventionist option for normal people, that's fine. They'll spot the bullshit quite easy. But this is the joy of the internet, is that you can present madcap solutions and find an audience for it. Mm-hmm. Like you could literally just go like, you know, in fact, you know, I might as well just do it. I have a program that involves hanging weights from your dick and your balls. And if you do that, it'll get you a side split 18 times faster than just normal side split training. But you have to do 40 kilos. Oh, where you work up slowly over a year by adding a kilo each time.
Oh, fuck.
And, you know, if I presented that as a realistic option, I would get people to buy it.
Yeah, you absolutely would.
This is the thing. I'd go, I could have my normal side split program, or you could have my dragon tendon training side split program.
Dragon tendon?
And people would buy it.
Yeah. Fuck.
But it is just like, that's just like, the internet is like basically a great, what's it called, discernment filter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you basically target your marketing, your statements to the biggest group of people who are stupid enough to give you money.
100%.
I don't mean to insult anyone who's give us money, because I think everyone who comes to us is incredibly intelligent, and probably this thing is also like, for where we're at, like, you guys are doing, killing it more than I am on social media. I haven't posted on social media in about 3 years. Other than just resharing stuff.
I'd probably be homeless.
I need to. What?
I'd be homeless.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
It works.
Unfortunately, I do have a business in real life, so it's.
Yeah.
You have your other platforms that share a lot. That's.
Yeah, I got the Tanzan Factory. It's kind of separate. Yeah. They share a lot. And M3, we're trying to build that account. But in general, it's like, yeah, I need to start posting again, but I hate it. I hate it with a passion. Actually, sorry, slight sideway tangent. I figured out my greatest achievement of 2017. So. I didn't realize it at the time. It was like, I was trying to find a photo of something. I realized in 2017, I only took 2 photos and 1 video of myself.
That's awesome.
In total.
Wow.
That was my greatest achievement of 2017. The other years are not. They're probably about 10 times that. But, you know, it's pretty. It's a good achievement.
No, it's good. Like, I don't know. I think it is easy to get caught up in your posting. Like, I've been working a lot on presenting the message and stuff. And I think it's just like, yeah, just not getting caught up in that bullshit. And just like sharing. I think sharing the simple message is like how we can help a lot of people that get caught up in this fucking 100-mile backwards bullshit.
It's
everyone's fucking detraining. Like, that's really what's happening. What I'm seeing is just like everyone's detraining to the point where they're just like frail in the corner and trying to figure out. And it's like, bro, you got to go like fall down and scrape your knee and learn that that's okay again. And you know what I mean? Like, it's everyone's literally just in the corner. I gotta just like. It's like, no, like, go fucking be badass. And it's okay to be sore. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously buildups to this. We're not going to jump in and do, you know, the fucking Cindy workout from CrossFit in day one. But you know what I mean?
I thought that was like what you meant to do day one
get,
CrossFit.
Get excited about training again and just being fucking awesome. And that's what's really like, everyone's like in pain or everyone feel like, and it's that messaging is just getting in everyone's head so much where it's like, I got to take 2 months off so that I can master my internal. It's like, what the fuck? No, you don't. You don't, man. Like, we can work this out with the right things, right?
It's the, like,
The
Melbourne Strength Culture guys, shout out to those guys, did a really good post recently, I think, on pain and just kind of like the correlation between sort of really actually understanding what that really may be or may not be to you. Because like, I think at this, any sign of discomfort is basically like, especially like your normal general pop people, they immediately equivalent to like pain.
Mm.
And it's like, it's funny. And again, this may just be me. This may just be a one-off experience, but like I literally fucking ruptured my bicep and I was just kind of like, oh, that was weird. And then kept playing rugby. Right. But like, but it's, I think it's, I'm not saying that's a normal thing or you should do that. I'm just saying like my expectation was that if I ruptured it, I should be like, fuck, ouch, you know, but I didn't have that experience. And it was like, and I don't really know why. You know, and so part of me is just like, it's probably just because I'm just so used to training and whatever that I just went about my day. You know what I mean? Like nothing really changed. And it was like, I just think it's like, you know, it's like when somebody first starts deadlifting, they've never deadlifted before, right? And they're like, I feel it in my low back. It's like, because your low back has never felt anything. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're not bracing hard enough or you're not doing this. It's just like, you've never trained your low back ever.
Yeah.
You're gonna feel your lower back.
Like, you know, I mean, that goes with fucking squatting and pressing and like
anything.
You're gonna like, and that's the thing. Low back's the other one, right? It's like my low back. It's like your low back's fucking fine, man. Like,
First time
that guy that sent me the other day, Lucas, who said that you shouldn't feel squats in your knees and back.
Like, what are you talking about?
Where should I feel them?
My
chest.
Oh my fuck! Like, let's get back to like just having some grit, being
you just like get back to all those long stretchy bandages everyone used to wrap themselves up with.
Just living, man.
Then just
it's like, all right. Apparently, like, I made
wanting
it
to live.
I made it in some fancy influencer's biomechanics course, apparently, and I had no idea. Somebody sent me a video. So, like, I posted an Instagram video of just on, like, weighted dumbbell side bends, you know? Just kind of, like, stretch out the whole lateral chain. And in the video, I do talk about, like, shifting the hip, like, pushing the hip away instead of just, like, crunching
down. Did those yesterday.
Yeah, you actually posted them yesterday. And anyway, so somehow I made it in this guy's course because someone apparently asked about my video. And so he does this whole like biomechanics breakdown of like what I was apparently saying, but that I didn't say. And I guess somehow they correlated it to me saying it was supposed to help people fix hip hikes. But like, if you look at the post, nowhere do I say hip, like it literally just had nothing to do with
blown out. Yeah.
But he decided to use my Instagram post in his course that people pay for as an example of like what doesn't work for a specific thing that I never said it was supposed to do in the first place. And it was just like a really bizarre, somebody was like, oh,
I'd be lawyering up if that was
somebody
me.
Was like, oh, it might be, you might want to know this. And it's like, it's somebody we all know. It's like, and he, that's his thing.
I think
like
I know who it is.
Selling biomechanics courses. And I was just like, that's really strange because yeah, it's like, I never said it does what he says doesn't do. So I don't know why you're using my video or exercise or Instagram, you know, video as an example for it, because anyways, it's the first time that has knowingly happened to me. And I'm glad somebody I know took the course and sent it to me. Cause it's like, yeah, you're in his course that I paid for. It's like, and you're an example of what not to do, by the way. I'm like, oh, okay.
Great. I think
nice.
Now that I'm just like thinking about it, I think we were supposed to talk more about corrective exercise and like maybe we could save that for the next one.
I think that was gonna be the next one. I didn't really actually schedule any topic for this one.
I think this was just a good ramble catch up call.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Basically to say we're back.
Happy New Year.
It was like such a fucking letdown of a start. I have to take most responsibility for that. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna do a monthly podcast. And then Emmett has to move house, have a child. And everything else that you can go that takes up time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, can't get my shit together. Then Jeff has to take some blame because on the day we were meant to start back in like October or something. I don't know. Whenever it was like, we send you a message going like, oh, we're ready to start in an hour. And you're like, dude, I'm evacuating my state. The place is about to fall.
Oh, that's right. The hurricane. Yeah. Fuck, that was bad. Yeah. That's right.
I think it's like, I don't know.
Lucas has been the only one. Well, actually, you got blamed a little because the other time we could have got it back on, you were in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll take like 80% of the blame. Well, you guys can take like 10% each. And that's.
I think it's just important for people to know that we're still chatting every day. Whether it's like a funny post being sent in the chat, but like we're out still pushing the same message we were a couple of years ago. Like things upgrade a little bit as we go, as we learn shit too. But like, you know.
All comes back to the basics.
Yeah, well, Lucas.
That's what I was thinking about.
Lucas, you should tell us. You just spent an entire 2 weeks in Australia teaching people flexibility and stuff.
Well, I sent you guys some voice notes when I was leaving. It was kind of like people still don't know what I thought they would maybe know. You know, like, and there were some people there I had been working with for a while and that know a lot of the stuff that we do really well. But it's like, I think the hands-on stuff is still very, like, obviously underutilized, like the hands-on teaching is like, that was really nice to be in, but then realize like a lot of people don't know a lot of this stuff still. Like it's hard to, you know, watch YouTube videos and, you know, it was really nice to get out and just do that. Like just be hands-on showing people some of that stuff. And like the old school stuff was like, people were super pumped about that. That was cool to present it in a way where it was consumable. Like it wasn't just like, cool looking lifts. It was like, these are some reasons to do this stuff. But that same thought process is like, we just got to keep doing basic podcasts and like keep getting out and teaching and stuff. Cause it is a world where people aren't getting necessarily the right information a lot of time about training.
Yeah.
Well, Emmett, you started back up some workshops too, right?
Yeah. Just back, where were they done one in Dublin, which is always a bit of a smaller workshop. People don't like coming to Dublin for some reason, but we factor that in anyway. So it was a small restart one, and then I done a big one in Hamburg.
Nice.
Which was, yeah, it was really good. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to smash people.
I haven't like worked like that in a long time, like in like the physical setting, and I was fucking trashed. I was sick as a dog when I got home.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
I always like, yeah.
Filled the time.
Because a lot of what I do is I kind of make the workshop up on the fly. And what that means is like, I know what I'm teaching. I know the concepts,
who's here,
depending on who's in the room.
Right.
Yeah. What exercises kind of use to illustrate this concept and what's going to suit people. And obviously I want people to get the most out of the workshop. So if I have someone, you know, I genuinely had one workshop where like I came in and the start of the workshop was in Sweden. And I'd say out of 20, 25 people, 20 of them were in flat middle splits, over splits, fat pancakes. And then five people in the group were like CrossFitters, normal people, CrossFitters who were, you know, flexible by the guy in the supermarket standard, but not anything like this. And they were like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, look at the more advanced people going like, what the fuck are you doing in the room? Like,
yeah.
You know, you clearly, whatever you've been doing has been working very well. But, you know, I got chatting to most people. Most of them were coaches from a certain place and they just wanted to come upgrade some methods, which is fine. But it's just, when you're dealing with that kind of spread in a place, it's quite, it keeps you on your toes. But I get to a point, particularly by Sunday, because I also like, I push people hard in the workshop because I teach everything practically. So everyone has to have a little go of everything. And, you know,
that's how you learn.
So by Sunday, everyone's getting like, everyone's energy level is going down. And I have to like find the energy to keep things going after teaching for like 16, 17 hours.
Yeah.
So it's fine. So then we'll do that. But then on Monday, I get this really weird thing where basically I think I've overclocked my brain so far by thinking on the fly and doing other things. Where it's just like, okay, I get to Monday morning. And if I go to a restaurant, I can read a menu, but my brain can't link the words to a concept. So if I read eggs and bacon, I can say eggs and bacon. I can read eggs and bacon, but I don't understand what eggs and bacon are. Or if I think egg, I can't say egg.
Like your synapses are fried just burnt. Or something.
It's like literally just burned out. It's great fun. I love it. I'm like functionally just like on the special bus.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. I finished.
It's good. Like most.
I finished both workshops with splits because I thought, I mean, I think I still would, but everyone was pretty trashed on the second day. The day we started doing splits. Did a lot of passive.
Yeah.
That was actually the other big one too. Passive range of motion, like developing passive flexibility, was just like, even though there were a lot of people more versed, I think, in training flexibility, was still just like not even really a thought process. Like the importance of like developing passive range of motion, it's like,
yeah,
we're training that. It's like, okay, you will need that, like to get into your splits. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
There is like that kind of thing of the big picture view of things, I think, is how all the pieces fit together isn't as well developed as people think, or people know chunks of it. And then, you know, I'm not just talking about like flexibility and everything. I'm talking about like, how does everything you can kind of do fit into one kind of cohesive whole?
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. That's why I kind of joke on my Instagram. Like I have a SCCCF coach on it, strength, conditioning, coordination, and flexibility coach, rather than just like a strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
But even like, it's kind of interesting, like even just on the integration of the basics. So obviously you guys know Angus Bradley.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be here next month.
I haven't met him, but I'm following his Instagram and he's entertaining.
I hung out with him there in Australia. And
nice.
Yeah. He's a good dude. He's coming up to
Justin. Yeah, he seems cool.
Yeah. He'll be here next month. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, he seems cool, but he's just pointing out, like, you know, just the inconsistencies in the fitness industry is just like, you know, so many strength and conditioning coaches don't do any conditioning with their athletes. They just do strength training.
Yeah.
It's like you're forgetting a whole chunk of the
50%
industry. 50%
of your branch. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of things. It's like,
it's like you have you hired a CPA who did all your taxes but didn't submit them to the IRS. <You know>? Oops.
I've done your taxes, but not the deductions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that's our fucking industry for you. Well, I'm sure it's any industry, honestly, but.
Yeah. I just think because there's so much low barriers to entry. It's the other thing Angus was pointing out, is like expecting trainers and gym trainers to like read textbooks, or not even textbooks, like the papers, research papers, and be able to dictate the context when they're not, when they have like no third level education.
It doesn't even matter.
It's just like, that's where we end up with PubMed gladiators, I call it, where people just keep posting links to things to prove them right when you're like,
it means nothing.
It doesn't even say what you think it says.
There have been people that have been like, I've seen some people start basically calling people out on it. Like, not like, hey, you just post links, but like, hey, you posted all these links and I happened to go to that link you posted and it has nothing to do with what you said it had to do with. What's the thought process here, you know? And it's like, of course, they just get busted like fucking sending out
spam
PubMed leaks. So, because you know how people's attention spans are. They're not going to, oh, let me click on this and see if he's right. They're going to go, oh, wow, he posted a link. This must be good information.
Yeah. They don't even assume whenever someone posts a PM ID, it goes PubMed ID, I assume they're wrong.
Yeah.
That's my thought process. I assume that they're, just basically, it's what the logical fallacy, appeal to authority.
Yeah.
Now, I understand like, it's fine. And, you know, sometimes you have to do it. But at the same time, when you just get to see someone like posting in Instagram, blah, blah, blah. And then a response. And then they just reply PMID. It's like you can't even click the fucking links in the Instagram comments. You expect me to like type that into my browser while holding my phone up? Yeah. I can't type it with hand.
There's just, you know, it's just and also an optimal exercise crowd. Like watching these guys just pivot around and argue with each other too. It's like Kasem and Paul Carter and JPG coaching. It's like forever. They all shit on lat pull downs and said, they're not lats and this, that, and the other. And then, Chris Beardsley came out with a study 2 months ago, and now all of a sudden, lat pull downs are lats again. And it's like, dude, they're fucking called lat pull downs. They've been called that for 80 years since the cable machine was invented in a commercial gym, and people grew lats from them. Like, I don't understand why we're arguing over this concept. Like, you know, it's like I understand.
It's only a terrorist minor pull down if your lats are weak.
Yeah, it's like, exactly.
Someone's going to pull that weight down.
I get and understand, and I in some way can appreciate the like guys that are actually maybe kind of sort of true scientists or researchers, and for whatever reason, they really have to go. But at the end of the day, and it's just something like Angus even talks about, or has talked about, I think, pretty well. It's like, how much, like, it's like, how do we actually know that, like, okay, so you can get EMG readings that, you know, this activates this muscle group more, but like, how do we actually like know that you're gonna get, like, we don't really know that optimal input and optimal output's a thing, right? Like, we have no way to actually, well, because he did this exercise, he got 1% more hypertrophy than if he hadn't done it. And it's like, that's, you probably couldn't even, like, I know for a fact, you wouldn't even be able to see that. Like,
my lat is 4 grams heavier.
It is 0.04 grams thicker or whatever. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's just
silly.
Nonsensical. It's just silly. Yeah, it's just silly, like,
bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's
also with the optimal exercise. It's like, oh, here's the optimal exercise.
Well, it's like Kasem, right? It's like, here's the argument. It's like, he's like, oh yeah, well, lat pull downs, you know, those Arnold was on drugs and he was on gear, and like anything works when you're on gear. And then it's like, okay, well,
so is Paul Carter.
Well, yeah. And you're, and well, then you go, okay, cool. Like, you know, well, you know, who are the kind of people that you're trying to target with your audience? Oh, well, like, you know, Olympia guys that really need to hone in their technique and they really need to, like, you know, mold out these last fibers of their life. It's like, they're on gear. You just said that. You literally just said that anything works for anyone who's on gear. And it's like, you know, then you get the opposite side of the spectrum. You get all these like teenage kids. Like, I swear, I walked into a commercial gym and everyone was doing like the Kasem pull down, right? Like, everybody. And it's like,
what's the Kasem pull down? I don't follow any of these drongos.
Just cable pulls.
It's a cable pull down, but like a single arm. But like, instead of sitting on the bench, you like kneel in front of it. So you're like half kneeling and it like apparently locks you in. So your spine is neutral. And so you can't arch, because obviously if you arch, you don't use.
Okay, I've seen that well before Instagram existed. So like,
you know, and your arm can't come completely overhead. Your arm has to stay like 5 degrees in front of full shoulder flexion, because if you go 5 degrees back, you know, the lats are not, you know, they can't produce leverage there, that whole thing. Anyways, but it's like,
his lats can't produce leverage there, Mike.
Yeah. So they get this. So then they go, you know, oh yeah, like, this exercise blew up my lats. It's like, this is the first year you've ever trained. This is the first year you've ever trained your lats. Like,
any
back exercise was going to blow up your lats, dude. Like, I don't think it was the JPG pull down or whatever. I think it was just the fact that you fucking trained for a year. It's crazy what happens when you
do that. Then it leads into you don't need to deadlift to build a big back. It's like, yeah, but you do if you don't want a fucking glass back that fucking breaks every time you fucking pick up 100 pounds. Because yeah, you got all these wide, narrow waists, and it's like no deadlifts. It's like you're fucked. Like,
yeah, literally. It's just funny, man. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, this industry. I think what we need is, you know, Vladimir Putin just to nuke Instagram.
Yeah, please. Just if you
just like this is the compromise we'll have. Just like we'll allow one nuke, but it has to be on like Instagram headquarters.
Well, I mean, like
Facebook, Instagram.
What I'm hearing is like shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing some TikToking, which has been
TikToking or TikToking.
A little bit of both. I've been doing some TikToking. Yeah.
But I mean, it's just an easy kind of like I'm just going to reshare a lot of the stuff I'm already sharing. But I mean that and YouTube Shorts. Like, I mean, I'm there's.
Yeah, no, it's smart to hit every angle you can.
Well, it's also just like.
You never know.
Maybe that's maybe what's been helping. It might, yeah. And it kind of helps sometimes to get into like post on another platform and just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
it's different audience or something.
Yeah, or just seeing different stuff or just not feeling.
I just feel like the old man hanging out with the kids if I join TikTok.
I know, I do too. Hey,
kids.
It feels so weird.
It's a totally different place.
Yeah, it feels so weird.
And I find the way you share a post is totally different too. Like it's not really a music, like reels and music is something on Instagram. It doesn't really go well on TikTok. Yeah. It's kind of like talking over something or I don't know. Yeah. It's just funny how people consume it over there.
Oh, duh, man. Don't you know? You just pull a video of somebody else really strong on the internet and you green put face, them on your green screen. Instagram and then green screen your face about how your methods are so good. Because they align with how this person got to where he is, but you've never trained that person. But you know, it's like that's obviously the key to success. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
look, this guy.
This guy
doesn't even know my name.
He squats 800 pounds ass to grass raw.
I want Emmett's first post in 3 years to be him green screening someone doing something.
Just trolling.
Yeah. I could do that.
You should just take one of those crazy ass Chinese circ performers and be like, "Yeah, look, modern methods of mobility at work." And be like,
"Oh shit, I have to send you guys something." Hold on, this is. Let's see if I can find this video. Possibly one of the craziest handstand acts I've ever seen. Someone, aka the Chinese, invented the hand hop. Fucking treadmill. Hold on, it's coming to you on the gram.
The shit they come up with, dude. It's like, have you ever seen the machines that they build specifically for like the Chinese weightlifting team? Like the exercise equipment? You're like, they just had some engineer whip some shit up one day, you know? It's like, that is crazy.
Wait, so it's about a 4 minute long video, but just skip to the end just to watch while she finishes. And just bear in mind, this is after 4 minutes of continuous fucking handstands at like some of the craziest trick level going.
You said 4 minutes.
So, for those people listening, I'll audio describe what's going on. It is a Chinese lady who has this big kind of circle thing, what's probably about 10 foot in radius, with handstand blocks all around the edge. And she's just doing hand hops and swapping from block to block like a treadmill.
Oh my God. It's like a Ferris wheel going round and round. Yeah. But. It's just handstand blocks, and she's just hopping from one to the next.
That's insane.
Holy
crap.
See,
this is where we need like a Jamie. Be like, yo, Jamie, bring that up.
That's insane.
Oh, she does. Like, she does hook herself in, which is probably good.
Yeah.
She doesn't eat shit 12 feet down to the floor.
But like in China, they'd probably just make her do it without the cable. It's probably just a requirement of the venue just for safety. If you're up at a certain height, you have to have safety of some feature. But like, this is the kind of thing. Like, you guys just don't understand how hard those moves are.
No,
oh my God. Hand hops. And it's fast. That's the thing.
Yeah, and doing them fast as well at height after just doing about like 5 minutes. It's basically the equivalent of me saying like go sprint continuously for 5 minutes and just rest as little as possible between repeats.
And then run
and then go squat a one rep.
Seriously. Oh my God, dude.
But
and then she just stops and has one arms.
Yeah.
God.
Hand balancers are crazy.
Insane, dude.
Yeah. But also, like, Chinese hand balancers are like, we kind of had a bit of a joke where this could be a thing on the Handstand Cast where we were just like, oh, you know, we're just going to go to China and find out what the actual records for hand balance are, because everyone in the West, like, oh, I've done, you know, 4 minute one arm, which is great, really fucking good. But then we hear reports of like 15 minute one arms coming out of China and 2 hour handstands and shit like this. You're just like, field trip to China. And then someone got in touch, was like, you're going to really do that? I'll organize it. So we might actually figure that out.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's definitely one of these nuts things. So, where to next, gentlemen?
Well, I have to actually jump off.
Ah, cool, cool. The plumber's coming again.
The plumber's coming.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Just laying some pipes. All right, let's just wrap it up there.
Just go a few episodes back if you don't get the joke.
Yeah. I think it's on one of the episodes. It's on Lucas's platform, the original Fellowship Range. That's right. We should probably repost them onto the new account what we have for this anyway. Anyway, I'll sort that out. Anyway, my apologies to everyone listening in for fucking up and not being able to go out. We'll be much better this year because, let's face it, natural disasters haven't kicked in too hard yet. I don't have another child on the way that I know about. Unless you guys are planning children again.
No, I'm done.
Done. Right. Other than that, we have been the Fellowship of the Range. Thank you for listening, and we will get you next month.